All right. So welcome to our case study call for NEPT for the month of October 2018, and we didn't have any new cases submitted, but we had a request from Lynette to review hers from last time, so I'm happy to do that. Let me just open up some of these files. We've got to get this going on the web, on the Google Drive, because this is a pain. Open. Okay. Oh, that new blood chemistry software stuff. I think we can, there we go. I've got your master tracker in too. Make sure this is you. Yes, this is you. And this is you. See, when we do it, we have a new form that apparently the message didn't get out to change it in the email. So we need to make sure all that gets done. But where it'll put everything into a Google Drive, because right now I have to open all these things in separate things and I have to stop the share and start the share because I can't share my whole screen because it's ugly as sin. And it doesn't show it properly if you just share the whole screen rather than the individual app. So let me share my screen. And did you have particular questions that you wanted to go over about your...
I had a few doctor's appointments, after our last call.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have some new labs. I should have sent them over. I apologize. I was at the doctor's this morning getting another mammogram, follow-up mammogram. So,
bring me back up to speed.
So I did a blood test with my last well woman exam, and that showed my thyroid antibody levels were at 38, which basically puts me into Hashimoto's status. I went and saw a functional medicine doctor right after that call, and he put me on low-dose naltrexone.
Mm-hmm.
To address the Hashimoto's as well as any gut issues. He put me on a SBI Protect IgG serum-derived bovine immunoglobulin stuff for my gut, but makes my stomach hurt, so I haven't been taking it in the last couple of days. I don't know why it's making my stomach hurt, but...
You don't know. Yeah. Look at excipients in there. Look at, specific things that might be allergens for you.
No, it's pretty clean. I mean, it's got magnesium stearate, but, you know, most supplements do, so.
Mm-hmm.
The other things, I went and saw that thyroid doctor up in North Austin.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So she proceeds to tell me that you're born with Hashimoto's and that it's not reversible.
Oh, lovely. Cross her off the list.
Oh, so she did a couple things. So she tested my body fat, mass, something or other. And, that was interesting.
A bioimpedance kind of thing?
Yeah. And, it showed that tested for metabolism, and basically I'm right in the middle, average for my metabolism. So I don't have low metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting. She also did a liver scan and tested for fatty liver. And, I definitely have fatty liver, which I already knew just because my, levels were elevated.
Right.
So that was interesting. I'm doing the Quiksilver Scientific, the push catch. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it basically is supposed to reverse fatty liver. So we'll see what happens because I've been actually taking that for a couple months now. And it didn't seem to have done anything for my fatty liver because... Mm.
So you've been taking it for a few months and it hasn't changed. I don't know. I'm not familiar with that product. I got a little jaded with the Quiksilver products when I ordered some because I wanted, they have liposomal this and liposomal that. And I ordered them and some of them have propylene glycol in them. And was very not impressed with the quality of those supplements in terms of, excipients and the usefulness of some of the things added. So I said, I'm sticking with Seeking Health for my liposomals. And I stopped really looking at their stuff. I know they have some good detox ones, but I haven't looked at it.
Okay. Yeah, that's the one I'm on, is the detox formula. I actually am taking their glutathione as well, so I'll have to look at that. So the liver scan showed that my so that I do have fatty liver. What's the other thing? I'm going back in for another abdominal scan of some sort with this functional medicine doctor that I'm seeing out in Houston in towards the later part of this month. And so we'll see. What else? So the last year when I had my mammogram, it showed that there was something there. They wanted to do a biopsy. I refused. And figured I'd wait it out, see if there was any changes between last year and this year. I went a couple weeks ago for my mammogram. They wanted a rescan today, so I did that. They did whatever they're seeing on there did increase in size by 1 to 2 centimeters.
Mm-hmm.
They're not seeing a lump or a mass, and they're not able to see anything on a 3D ultrasound. So they're like, you know, we just don't know. But we're not going to know exactly what's going on until we do a biopsy. And I was like, all right, fine. I'm going to do a biopsy. And so I'm going to do that next Monday. I did want to just get your guys' feedback on this whole process, because this is all new to me. But I know you guys have been around the block for a while. So what is your input on all of this?
Be specific on all of this, on your low vitamin D, on your thyroid antibodies, on your liver stuff, on the mammogram, which piece do you want?
The mammogram.
Yeah, so have you done a thermogram?
Yes, I did a thermography. I did that, and it showed that there was no risk in the right breast, which is the breast they're actually looking at, and it showed that there is some risk in the left breast, which is the one they're not looking at, which I think is ironic.
Interesting. So in terms of an increased heat patch in the left one versus the right one, and there's nothing showing at that spot where they're seeing something. Do you have a tendency to fibrocystic breasts?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So that's a lot of what could show up is a density that's just a fibrocystic kind of breast thing.
Right.
So if you're going to get the biopsy, you know, my concern with biopsies is that if there is something there that you can spread it. That,
right.
And that was probably your concern as well.
Yep.
Another option might be, I mean, if you want to take a wait and see, but I can't advise you on this because it's, you know, it's something that you have to really feel into. But looking at if it is fibrocystic, have you tried a topical iodine on it?
I've been doing topical iodine for months now.
How much?
2 to 3 drops per breast.
On Lugol solution?
Lugol's.
Yeah. And what about internally taking iodine?
That my I don't know if it's my thyroid that swells when I take it orally, or if it's the.
Oh, that's right. You said that you're
getting. So I haven't been taking it orally, but I have been. I started taking a supplement of.
Like a kelp kind of supplement.
Yeah, kelps. Yeah, bladder whack or whatever it is.
Yeah, have you done an iodine load? I don't remember if you have.
I haven't, no.
You haven't.
I did the serum iodine, and that showed, you know, normal. So.
Yeah, but serum's not the best place to measure iodine. So the other thing is, you know, LDN is great for reducing inflammation, but what is it doing to look at some of these other things? First of all, your D is super low. Had you been supplementing with D before this?
You know, it's crazy because I have been supplementing with D pretty regularly and at really high doses. And what I found is that it dropped my potassium levels, but it did not increase my vitamin D levels, which was super weird.
What are you taking? So I would be looking at is what I'm taking getting absorbed. Is there another format that's going to get absorbed better?
Yeah.
And have you looked at your genes to see if you have any genetic SNPs that would predispose you there?
You know, I need to look at my genes. I have not done. I mean, I have them right here. I can look at them.
Yeah. Did you run like the metabolic healing report or the strategy or any of those?
I don't know that they're on.
Because even on the genetic genie, you're going to see the D's. There's other D's that are, we'll go over more at Shine. But
do you know which gene it is? I have it right here.
Well, VDR is a starting point. That's the receptor. But then there's others that have to do with how the D is uptaken into the cell. And if you go to the CMDS module, I did a whole thing on the genetics of digestion. And in there's the D. And I don't remember all the names of the SNPs off the top of my head. But I'm a chart person. I like to have charts. So I created really cool charts. And you can see what all the different... Actually, wait a second. I may have it handy because I was working on this presentation for a thing I'm doing next week, and I have the D-SNPs in there. So let me see. BDF, Beyond Keto, Freedom. Other presentations. Speaking, here we go. Here we go. I'll open this one up and see. Yeah, I just created a 2-hour, 142 slide presentation, anticipating a 2-hour. Now I have it. See, okay, so D.
I have a double SNP in the VDR BSM, and no SNPs in the VDR TAQ.
Okay, so it could be that. Let me look up some of these others and give you. Let's see, major detox SNPs. Where's my vitamin D SNPs? It's a picture of the sun. Let's see. ACAT. Blood sugar SNPs. Nutrient absorption SNPs. Let me make this bigger so I can actually see it. Here we go, D. Nope, that's B. That's B9. I can tell. Picture of this thing. Where is it? B12. Here we go. So some of the SNPs related to that VDR, you've got those. So you've got a homozygous in one of them. There's another one called GC, and it's RSID 4228. Here, let me see if I can copy this. I'm just going to do this. See if this copies into the chat. Again, this is all, if you want to review it, it's in the CMDS. Okay, here we go. Yeah, have a look at that. So see if you have any of those. So it could be that, but I would also look at what are you taking, like what kind of D are you taking?
I'm taking the thorn, the drops.
Okay, and that's the D plus K or just the plain drops?
Yeah, I take K as well. It has K in it.
And how much are you taking?
I was taking upwards of, 10, 15 drops in my...
How much is in each drop, though? How much is in each drop?
I think it was 1,000.
I don't remember what's in theirs. So 10 to 15, so 10 to 15,000. I'm would consider doing a 6-week trial of 20,000 a day. And liquid's usually good, but you never, like, what's the carrier liquid in there? Maybe it doesn't get absorbed. And then they also have patches that you can try, the D patches. As a possibility, and just like play around with different levels to see. Have you had a D tested before this?
Yeah, my D's have been low forever, and it, like, I was taking a D in a tablet form, and that didn't help, and I was taking D in a liquid form, and that wasn't helping, so.
And then gut stuff will interfere with the D as well, and liver, right? Kidney, liver, gut are the three areas. I've had people who had a similar thing, and she actually finally tried D2, which she was shocked at, and the D2 actually raised her level.
Wow.
Which was weird, but she was taking a lot. Well, no, she didn't take synthetic. She took, it was a plant source D2.
Oh, okay.
Like a mushroom based or something like that. But, Yeah, I think you got to play with that and see how you're going to do that, because it's too low, and it's really hard to get your gut healed. It's hard to get the hormones balanced with low D. The other thing, you, even though you're, it says optimal on your B12, I was looking earlier for, yeah, your MCV is low, is high. Where'd it go? Yeah, MCV is high. It's like 93. Ideally, you want it to be, you know, in this 82.
What controls the MCV?
MCV is usually related to B12 folate, usually a B12 or folate deficiency, but you know, you can also click on your report. Used to be you could click on the something in the report. Ah, there you go. It tells you exactly, yeah, a measurement of the volume of cubic microns, whether the blood cells appear normal. And then you can usually look at, see. You can usually click it in the program. I'm not familiar with the new report, because it's all very pretty, but it's not like what it used to be. But you used to be able to click it. I'm not sure what this thing means. I would think that looks like something.
Yeah, move your cursor over to the letters, because that seems to be what's the. Anytime you see a little hand, that's me. That's
okay. No, that's just getting me back to here. Yeah. MCV, but it's just getting me back and forth there. But used to be in the old report, and maybe it's further down in a different section. Let me see. Maybe it's in here. Vitamin D.
So it looks like my levels came up a little bit from the last time.
Yeah, 34 to... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's in the report. You have to go into the program, but let me see down further if there's a spot where you can. Used to be able to, you could click it. And you could click each of these. So let's just look at the blood chem software and see. You're probably not seeing my screen anymore, right? Because it went to the blood chem. We go log in. We'll just log in. Everything's changing. Optimal DX, and then there should be the one for. That's my main one, but anyway, if you go in here, right, and I should be able to. I'm not sure if I see your patients in here or not. If I see both mine and the other group, so let's look up Lynette. No, I have to look up your. I have to log in as the nutritional endocrinology. Okay, so let me log out. Huh. Where's the log out? Where they. Create a custom lab template. No. Dashboard. Here we go. Used to be up here. There we go. Log out. And then I'll log in as the nutritional endocrinology one. Endocrinology. There we are. Because you'll be in that one. And I should be able to see this. I see. I have to find the blood chem software one. I'm in my RoboForm. Blood chem software. I need to rename it to Optimal DX so it catches it again. RoboForm blood chem software. Here we go. I'm going to say rename. What did they call it? Optimal DX? OPI. Okay. And then I have to look at it. Oh, the password. Okay, got it. Okay, hopefully this password still works. And I'll switch my screen share, new share to Optimal DX, right? All right, so you see me inside the blood chem software?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so if I go to, you go in here and you go to Clinical Tools Blood Reference Guide. Let's see if it's on here. Yeah, so you go see there. See where I'm at? I just clicked on Blood Reference Guide. Yeah. So if I go down to MCV, then it tells me everything you want to know about it. So any of your abnormal values, it'll tell you why. Right, it's actually the size of the blood cell, and you'll see them small in anemia and large in macrocytic anemia, which would be like B12 and folate. But there are a couple of things, B6, vitamin B12, or folate, ranges, low, internal bleeding, I don't think you have that, B6 deficiency, not a very common, but... you're high. Here we go. Clinical importance. So B12 or folate, hypochlorhydria is a common one, which you might have, and for vitamin C. Okay. So when somebody shows up with, like if somebody shows up with normal homocysteine, high MCV, and then they do methylmalonic acid and that's still normal, I'm like, it's either folate, B6, or it's something else. So these are the kind of things you can look at. And see what makes sense for you. And vitamin C is a possibility. Now, all these liver, MCV, alkaline phosphatase. Let's look at your liver enzymes now. I'm going to go here and look at it, not from the report, but I'm going to look at it from inside. So I'm going to just do view patient, and then I'm going to put you up. You have yourself in under Lynette, or did you use a pseudonym?
No, it's under me.
Okay. So when you look at it inside the report, everything that's abnormal you can click on. So, you know, vitamin D need, and it'll describe how it's figuring out that and, you know, what that means. Make sense? So if you want to look up anything, it's a great learning tool, right? So any of the stuff. So if we were to look up your thyroid function, okay, so that's describing the thyroid function that they're using, right? How are they determining it? But if I want to look up a specific number, like a specific biomarker, you had a C-peptide done? Oh, no, I don't see it. Glucose, hemoglobin A1C. Hemoglobin A1C looks good. Then I have to look at... This is the latest one, right? So edit results, generate reports. I could look at that. Nope, that's not what I'm looking at. I want to see this is showing the above optimal. So it should show this. Why is it not showing? It's like going your functional snapshot, but I'm looking for that report in here. That has the, just list, oh, up here. Here we go. All right. So we look down here. So if I just were to go through this list up here and you want to find out more about, like here, your thyroid peroxidase antibodies, you want to find out more what they're saying. It was a 9 before. Now it's a 38. And that's in a year. So some kind of additional stress has come on your body that's causing you to make more antibodies. You can find out more about it, the ranges, the low, the high, anything else, interfering factors. So let's see, other, what is high? Early stage Hashimoto's, late stage. So you'd look this up. What else are you going to see in a late stage? Decreased total and free T4, which you have. Your total T4 is not so low, but your free T4 seemed a little bit on the low side. Yeah, not as many cells checks then. There's adrenal fatigue and hypoxia. So this is a really good thing to do. And I would say this would be a great learning tool to do on yourself, is to just go through and look up every single one of these. So we don't have time in a call like this to do it. There's 12 hours of instruction in the blood chem module, which, you know, unless you've watched it 3 or 4 times, is unlikely to have all sunk in, but it will sink in once you're looking at it for your own stuff.
Right.
So that's what I would recommend that you do and address those things. So as to say, LDN can help with inflammation. but it's not getting to the root cause, right? Same thing with giving somebody with Hashimoto's thyroid hormone. That's addressing the levels being low and bringing them up, but it's not addressing the root cause. So we really want to keep all that in mind. Let's try to find the...
So I was looking into the AIP diet, and it's like everything that I eat is on the list of do not eat. Because
You know, here's the thing. Let me tell you where the AIP diet came from. The AIP diet came from somebody doing that and deciding that that worked for her, and then deciding that it was the be all and the end all diet. All right. I have a variation version of something like that, but it's given as a, here's some basic groundwork and here's how to do some testing and see what you're having a reaction to. Gets you off of nuts and seeds and, you know, basically you're going to sit around eating meat all day, which I think is ridiculous if you're trying to heal somebody's immune system.
Right. So that's what I'm trying to figure out is, you know, how do I know what's inflamed in my body? Because I eat plant-based, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah. I, you know, I feel like I have that. I'm so confused.
And yeah, but what works for you?
Do, and so I came across the Cyrex Array 10.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's the one with the chemicals.
It, you know, it's got all, it's, you know, the raw foods, the cooked foods, the different proteins, the lectins.
Oh, that's the antibody one?
Mm. Yeah.
I'm not so crazy about it because what happens with any of those IG, they're basically an IgA mostly. It does some other, I think it does IgA and IgG. If you're not eating those, it's a blood test. If you're not eating those on a regular basis, it's not going to work. So, what happens with people, they go, oh, the doctor told me I had to eat at least this much gluten every day and this much dairy every day and this much this every day and this much stuff that you may already know you're sensitive to, just to show up on the test. I'm not a big fan of it, right? I would love to see, because you have the liver issues and you have some liver enzyme stuff and you're showing up with fatty liver, I'd rather see you do, maybe it's Array 12, the one where you're looking at the chemicals. Because is there a chemical thing going
on?
Well,
I did the Great Plains, the microtox.
And your glycos, yeah.
Definitely toxins, MTD.
Yeah, so I'm not sure that test is going to do anything but confuse you. If you do that full allergy panel, I don't think it's going to do anything but confuse you. I've done them. I'm definitely allergic to dairy and gluten, and they show up as, you know, mild. I don't eat them.
Right.
So therefore, they show up as mild. I hadn't had salmon in 20 years. It showed up as an allergy for me, right? I've had my husband who is definitely allergic to soy. Like, I didn't breathe soy, and he swells up, and he's been rushed to the emergency room many times as a kid with accidental soy exposure. It shows he has a mild sensitivity to soy. Like, I just haven't really enjoyed doing them. I'll do them when I have somebody who we've tried everything. We've done the elimination diet and there's still something there that maybe there is some hope of finding something, you know, but if you show up and do that test and 27 things show up, it's your leaky gut. And if you stay away from all 27 and then you do the test again in 3 months, those 27 will be fine and 27 new ones will be on there because you didn't address the leaky gut. So I don't know, you know, I don't know your exact diet. It might not be the right one for you. If it's causing you to not shed tons of weight on a whole foods plant-based diet, then there's something in there that's causing a reaction.
Yeah.
So an elimination diet, a really strict elimination diet, something where you're just getting it down to, I know these foods work well for me. Doing, whether it's a juice fast, a water fast, a fasting mimicking diet, something where you're eliminating a ton of things and then you just add them back in and you see what happens. Because I don't know, I'm old fashioned maybe, but when I first started in practice, I started running all of those allergy tests and I got so jaded after a while that I quit. I just quit. I couldn't find one that I really enjoyed. And then doing double split samples on people and sending them to different labs and getting them, you know, two different sets of results. I had friends who even split samples and sent them to the same lab with different names and got different results on the same day. And I'm like, I can't trust this. Wow. I totally can't trust this. Right. So blink and your antibody levels change. Yeah. Go get stressed out. Be in an environment where you're exposed to something. Boom, your antibody levels are going to change. I'm not convinced that there's as much validity in doing those antibody tests as people think.
I did BioHealth gut permeability test.
Mm-hmm.
And the results said something like, gut permeability, but I'm like, you just did a test. How is it, that you don't know for sure whether or not, I've got leaky gut?
So, oh yeah, there's none of them will say that. It'll either say mild chance, moderate chance, or likely. Likely means you basically have it. They just can't say that. They can't, there's no, whatever the thing, ICD-9 or whatever code that says, oh, if this shows up, this is it. So they have to be careful. A lab has to be super careful at reporting results. They have to report it as what they showed. It's likely based on other evidence. It's likely. So it's likely. So it's addressing that. It's looking at a gut healing protocol. That's again, what I find for gut healing protocols is getting on a really light diet. That's really simple. And even for just blending foods for a month. Right. So it could be, if you think that there's some inflammation there, even just lightly cooked, but blended foods and broths for a month to let it heal while you're working on some of the nutrients, while you're working on the mucous membrane, restoring it with slippery elm or plantain or DGL, glutamine, arabinogalactans, and all that's in the CMDS. And if you were to take yourself through that grand type process that I put together, likelihood of healing your leaky gut is pretty high.
Okay. I'll do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you got to address it. Your triglycerides are fine. Well, no, wait, latest two results, 110. And he's saying, oh, they're the same, but they're way high. So your triglycerides are high. So even though your hemoglobin A1C was decent, it was like 5.2, I think, there's some indication that there's some blood sugar imbalances here. Your triglyceride HDL ratio is 1.91 at the upper end of it. Your triglycerides are high. I would be looking at fasting insulin. And so I don't see that here. Homocysteine, did you do a homocysteine?
Whatever is in there.
That's it, yeah. So it's not as complete a test as I would like to see. Exactly, because there's some holes here.
Yeah.
Especially with the B12 looks fine in here. You have MTHFR and MTRRs in your genetics?
Yeah.
Yeah. FUT2?
Where did my thing go? Yes.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure, because that's the one for the bifidus, right?
That's the one for the bifidus, right. Yeah. And what are you doing for probiotic supplementation or probiotic food intake?
Right now, I take two different probiotics. I'm taking Syntol to address the candida balance on my gut. And then I'm also taking another probiotic.
Yeah, but what is... So taking a probiotic, and this is questions, when we're working with people is to ask, just because they're taking a probiotic doesn't mean they're taking the right probiotic.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And how much bifidus is in there? Are you getting a couple of 100 billion organisms of bifidus? Have you done that for a period of a week or two to really push the bifidus in there? What are the doses of these? Like how many billions of organisms are you getting? Some of them are super low dose.
Right.
Some of these I'm shocked at how low dose, like 10 billion organisms. Yay, we're the best. Like sometimes to really clean up and get a good balance in there, you need a couple 300 billion organisms that are going to be preserved and not kind of pooped out.
Yeah, the one I'm taking it's a 50 billion and it's got a combination of the lacto... Coccus, Bacillus, Rhamnus, Plantarum, KC, Acidophilus, and then it's got the Bifidobacterium longum.
How much Bifido?
It doesn't break them down by amounts. It's just a combination.
Yeah, and most of them, it's going to be a cursory amount because Bifido is more expensive. Mm, okay. So most combos like that. Do you get bloating after eating?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, so you may have some overgrowth in your small intestine. And in that case, staying away from the organisms that produce D-lactate in the gut. And there are some probiotics. I know two companies that make them, Custom and Claire, yeah, that have D-lactate-free probiotics. And generally when I'm not sure with somebody, I start them with the D-lactate free plus some extra bifidus to just really implant. And then you can play with it later. But that really helps to avoid some of those oopses, right? That, okay, we've been supplementing with this for a long time. The D, I'd be looking at getting a different version of D and seeing if you get the same thing with the different yeah. D. And
I'm going to try the patch. Is there a particular brand that you like?
I bought them. I don't remember the exact name of it. I bought them on Raw Food World, Matt Monarch's site, Raw Food World. And, you know, a patch could be a good way to, you know, that's where D is supposed to get absorbed anyway, right? You produce it in the skin and you absorb it that way. The liquids, usually, I usually use, I've seen good results with the Premier one, Premier Research Labs. They're up in Round Rock, or wherever, somewhere near there. And I've usually had good results with that. Biotics, Forte, whatever, is good. And if you're having trouble with fat absorption in any way, if you're not making enough liver, you know, your liver is fatty, you may not be making enough bile to actually fully micellize your fats, then taking it that way is going to be problematic. Sublingual might be better, or the patch might be a good way to look at it. I mean, has it come up? Let me see. It's come up. No, it's pretty it's pretty flat. And that's a year. A year of 10,000 to 15,000, I'd be looking at what, you know, what's in there.
I'm well, going to the brand. It wasn't a year, but it was, I mean, it was
close. It looked like it was.
Well, I wasn't consistent over a year.
September, yeah, September to August.
But, I mean, like right before I took the test, I had been pretty consistent, you know, even just, you know, within the couple months before the test, you know, doing high doses of vitamin D, and the fact that it's not.
Not budged at all. Well, it could have crashed and then not come up. What I would do is consistent for 6 weeks. Consistent, same dose every day. Consistent. And do it for 6 weeks, 20,000, and test. You don't run the risk of getting it too high in 6 weeks based on your history. And I would just retest it at 6 weeks. I'd look at how's your fat absorption. I'd look at digestive enzymes that could be helpful with that.
I take digestive enzymes. I take hydrochloric acid.
You take it with your supplementation or separate?
Separate.
Yeah, take it with, like, take the D is great with a meal because it's fat. You know, take it with a meal and take your supplement and see if that makes a difference too.
I usually put the drops in my smoothie. So that's part of the food.
Mm-hmm. Right, but are you taking digestive enzymes and HCL with the smoothie?
I usually do not take digestive enzymes and hydrochloric acid with my smoothies because I'm like, it's pre-digested. So.
Is there fruit in there in the smoothie?
Just usually blueberries, sometimes like half a banana.
Because fat and fruit don't go well together. And okay. there's a whole process of, you know, the way the liver handles them. And it's explained really well in Jason Fung's book, I think it's the Obesity Code or something like that. He has a really nice description and layout of how that happens. And
so fat and sugar?
Fat and sugar together are not a good combination. Let me go to A1C. Did we have it in here? I thought I saw that in here. Because there's a bunch of stuff in here that's not quite right. I mean, your total white blood cells are a little on the low side. That's not uncommon in people on a both plant-based diet and low, but you always want to make sure you don't rule it out. But in your hematocrit came up, your hemoglobin's on its way up. So those are good things. So whatever you're doing there is working in terms of getting enough iron and ferritin and all that kind of stuff. Well, iron in your system. I don't see iron and ferritin in here. Total T4 is at the low end of the normal. TSH is at the, you know, middle of the road. Free T3 was low, so, and it got lower, right? So that could be gut, you know, some kind of imbalance in the gut that's getting worse, because the T4 is converted to T3 in the liver. It could be the liver as well, the liver, gut, and a little bit in the kidneys, and then a little bit in the thyroid, but mostly liver and gut. So that's reflective there. Deficiencies of selenium can lead to low free T3. Also magnesium and zinc. So looking at those as possibilities.
Yeah, I just added zinc back to my regimen.
Did you?
I've been taking high doses of selenium.
Mm-hmm. And stress is huge. I don't remember I think you had done a Dutch test a while back. I think we looked at that months ago, but
I'm about ready to do another one. I have the kit right here. I've been eliminating some of the foods that they're like avocado and nuts and stuff like that. So I'm probably going to take the Dutch probably Thursday or Friday.
Okay. Yeah, because that'll give some idea. So if your adrenals are going down, like free, the conversion is affected by too much or too little, right? And then if there's some kind of chronic illness going on, you'd look at reverse T3 if it's being converted to reverse T3 instead of T3. If there's some kind of chronic process going on or even acute illness, the reverse T3 will go higher because it's basically the body trying to put on the brakes. It's like, okay, slow down. We don't want your metabolism high. Let's just drop it down and it'll convert more of the T4 to T3 because the T is definitely low. But I don't see the free T3 either.
Yeah, my doctor does not run the test that we need.
Yeah, because free T3, here's the thing, right? When we're looking at thyroid hormones, we're looking at how much is the body producing or how much is somebody taking extraneously through a medication. But then we want to look at what are the different processes that the body has to go through in order to make that into active form. And free T3 is the active form. Yours is quite low. And it could be when you see a free T3 that's low, but I don't see a total T3 either. So it's really, I can't make decisions as to, so the total T4, if the free T4 is also low, then I'm thinking excess of the thyroid binding globulin, right? And all this is, you know, mapped out in the thyroid module, but excess of that and it's binding up. But if both of them are low. But if one of them is low, if the free T4 is just fine, then I'm thinking it's the conversion from T4 to T3. Make sense? So it's when you don't get a full panel, it's really hard to make decisions
right
about what's functionally going on.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so those are the ones I would add. If you want to do a full thyroid panel, you want to do a full thyroid panel. Right, TSH, yeah. Total T4, total T3, free T4, free T3, thyroglobulin, and thyroperoxidase. So you don't need to do the thyroglobulin. It's just more of an academic thing. I mean, you could if you wanted to because you already know that you've got elevated antibodies. I usually do the if I'm trying to save somebody money, I'll have them do the thyroid peroxidase, which is going to be elevated in 80% or more of somebody with an autoimmune thyroid. But in that other 20%, like if I'm really suspicious and it comes back negative, I'm usually sending them back to get it done again. So most people opt to just get their blood drawn the one time and do both. But it is an extra $40 to add the second one on if people are paying out of pocket, then, you know.
So total T3, free T3, reverse T3, and T4?
Total T3, total T4. Free T3, free T4, TSH, and your antibodies. You could get, since you're going down, you could get the reverse T3 as well to get that. And when you're looking at reverse T3, it's not an absolute number. It's the ratio. It's the ratio of the T3 to the total, the free T3 to the reverse T3. And if you look up on Stop the Thyroid Madness site, they have a little calculator. So I just usually go to Google and I say, oh yeah, tell me what I think I just say T3 ratio. Let me see. Are you still seeing my screen here? Which screen are you seeing right now? I don't even know.
I see
lab.
What is this one? The Optimal DX.
The report you were seeing?
Inside.
Okay. So if I go here and I just go to type in T3, R-E-V-E-R-S-E-T3 ratio. I hit that, and you go here, and you put in the number, free T3, reverse T3. You got to make sure you check the scale that they're using, and then it'll give you a number, and you want to see it 20 for high. And it explains all how to do it, because it can be confusing if they're in different scales.
Right.
Okay. And that's what you want to look at. And if it's two, if there's the ratio between T3, free T3 and reverse T3 is off, that means your body's just moving more to reverse T3, putting the brakes on. And then you want to examine, why would my body be putting the brakes on? Right. Is it that it doesn't have enough selenium or one of the other cofactors for converting to T3? Or is it that it's actually a preconceived, deliberate attempt to slow you down? You don't seem to have a lot of, you know, symptoms of low energy, but it may be low intracellular energy versus your outside energy. And right. Your outside energy may be related to some adrenal, like high levels of cortisol. Yeah. Like I said, I don't remember what was going on in yours before. Does this like thoroughly confuse you, or is this making sense?
I think for me, it's like, it's all fine and good to have all these numbers, but what do you do to address it all? You know, like, is it just starting with the CMDS, fixing the gut?
Fix the gut, you got to get the toxicity down. You've got mycotoxins in your system. You got to identify what's in your environment that might be causing that. Did you have the high glyphosate, or was that somebody else who had
that? Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Like, where is that coming from, and how do you get rid of it? So, like, because if you're doing protocols to, like, get rid of it, but it's not getting rid of, it says to me it's still there. So is it in your environment somewhere?
Well, I had the test done in the spring, like March, I think.
Yeah.
And I haven't redone it because I'm still doing the detox protocols. So I'm going to... You know, eventually I'll have to redo it. It's expensive though. I just redid the microbial oat to see where my candida was. Cause that's where I started with, okay, let's look at the oat, see where my gut is. So I've cleared the Clostridia. The candida is mostly under control. It's still a little bit high, but it's weird. Like it switched from one, like it was like three different candida markers were high on the first test. And then this other test, a different marker for candida was higher. And I'm just like, what's going on? Like, how did I clear three of them but not the other one?
Yeah. So that's the thing that the body will prioritize. And then suddenly something else gets to show its face because the others were overpowering it and it didn't show. So there's that. And then as you clear them out, then it gets to thrive and, you know, I don't know. And there may be some different herbs or whatever that you can deal with the specifics of that. Those are good questions for Steph because she really looks at the specificity of the organisms and what they respond to and don't.
Right. So that's the Cintal. When I had talked to Steph at our retreat, she said Cintal was really good. So I've been taking the Cintal.
Okay.
Every day in attempt to just, you know, create balance in the gut.
Did she mention Bifido at all? Did you tell her you had the FUT2?
No, we didn't get into that much detail.
Just a little, yeah. So that might be worthwhile. And maybe it's worthwhile setting up a consultation with her to really have her dig into this and give you some specifics.
Yeah. Yep, I did buy some Bifidus, so I think I have some straight Bifidus in my cabinet. I'll have to start taking that again.
Hopefully in your refrigerator, not your cabinet.
I'll have to make
sure. Texas, on top of, you know, anybody's cabinet is a little too hot, but you live in Texas.
yep, you're right. I'll have to.
So here's how anybody wants to know if you've had some probiotics for a while and they've been exposed and you're not sure if they still work, try to make yogurt. You know, blend up some cashews and stick them in there at the ratio of one cup cashews to one teaspoon or about 100 billion organisms, and then see if it grows. And if it cultures and you make yogurt from it, then you know those things are still working. And if it's a dud, like it still just tastes like plain old cashew cream at 24 hours, then it's probably not. I had to throw away some very expensive probiotics at one point because it was like, I forgot about them. They're buried in my fridge. I wonder if they're working. Tried the yogurt test. Failed miserably, so threw them away.
That's a good trick. I'm going to have to go make some yogurt.
Yeah, go make some yogurt. Right, right. And then put everything in chronometer. You know what chronometer is? It's an app. You can get it on your phone. And just put everything you eat. I know it's tedious, but put everything you eat in there. It'll give you an idea of the number of calories, the number of fat and all that. But the ratios between omega-3 and 6 could be, right? Just because you're on a plant-based diet, most plant-based eaters have omega-6 is way dominant. So I'd look at that. And then you can look at all kinds of ratios in there. It's really real. And then you can see, it'll show you, oh, your diet these days that you put in was low in selenium. And then you click the thing and it'll show you what foods you're currently eating that are good in the selenium. So you know what you can increase in your diet as it is. It's a really cool thing. We got an email back from those guys. I don't know if Lynn saw it, but it was in response to something you wrote, and it was about a month old email, but I went through my inbox and found there was a lot of stuff that needed tending, and they were basically gave us some ideas and thoughts on how we could proceed. I think I forwarded it to you with setting up an account with them so that, you know, we can do stuff. And I don't know, I have to look into it, but it's a really nice little report. I think you pay like $40 to get the gold, and I think it's just a one-time deal, and then they give you even nicer reports.
Right. One last thing, and that is, I was working with the hormone specialist over at this functional medicine doctor's office, and she was looking at
I thought you said the dysfunctional medicine doctor. That's what it sounds like. The dysfunctional medicine doctor. Oh, that's a new one. That's what we should call Western medicine. Dysfunctional medicine doctors.
Functional medicine.
Okay.
And she was like, well, I can't. She's like, we don't even know if you're in menopause, so I need you to go do a luteinizing hormone test.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I did, and my result was 64.1 IU-L, and their range, or on the thing, it says the mid-cycle peak is 14 to 95, which is where I'm landing, and then postmenopause.
But wait, did you take it at mid-cycle?
I don't have my periods anymore.
Yeah, you're probably in menopause then. If you don't have periods, then you have that high of an LH, you're in menopause.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So you'd expect it to be normally if you are having cycles, they'd have you take it at day two when it's going to be low. And if it's high, then you know you're in menopause. But if you're not having periods and you just randomly took it, it's either that you are having an amenorrheic cycle and you actually are going through the cycles, but not bleeding, but it's more likely that you're in menopause.
Okay.
How long has it been since you've had a cycle?
I had a cycle in June, which was totally random. Cause I hadn't had a period, but I was at, it's interesting cause Dr. Chris Shade, you know, he says, you know, he's had women restart their periods after starting the detox protocols because it unblocks the cells, you know, the hormone receptors. And it was like, That's exactly what happened. So, but I haven't had one since.
Yeah. That happened to me. I hadn't had a period in several months, and then I did a cleanse, a fast, like an 11-day fast. And I was like, you know, 2 weeks later, I got my period back. I'm like, oh, I restarted this. I'm really not in menopause. I was like 50 at the time. And I'm like, okay, I'm not in menopause. And that was it. That was 12 years ago. So, you know, once you've hit a year, then you're pretty clear that that's what it is, right?
So
before that, it could go long periods and then come back, long periods and then come back. So you're really perimenopausal.
I was looking at the ranges and it says postmenopausal 7.7 to 58.5, and I'm outside of that range. And I was actually doing a web search to find out, you know, what the ranges are and what it means and all that. And it said that if you have high luteinizing hormone, you know, beyond a certain amount that it could be PCOS. And I was like, what? So
I mean, it could be. You're a little bit above that range. You're at 60, you said, and it's 57 was there.
64, yeah.
64. And it's close. I mean, the other thing I'd be concerned about is it's stimulating your ovaries and producing too much estrogen. Have you had your testosterone levels? No, we just saw them. Your testosterone levels weren't high.
No, everything's low.
Yeah, so I doubt it's PCOS with that. You know, typically in PCOS, you're going to see high levels of testosterone, sometimes high DHEA, sometimes just DHEA, not testosterone. You'll see the estrogen-progesterone ratio way off. Yes. So estrogen dominant for sure. Yeah. And if you know, anovulatory periods starting when you're your age is very different than anovulatory periods when you're 14 or 18 or 27. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, so you got to look it all together. And your HbA1c was 5.2, which I would expect to see that much higher in somebody with PCOS. Usually we see that much higher.
Okay.
Your fasting glucose was fine. So I don't really see that, but I'd be concerned about insulin. And insulin basically is an anabolic hormone, but it will store fat. And so if you're like, what am I doing? I'm eating this diet. And why am I not losing like pounds and pounds a week, then I would be looking at high levels of insulin. So if you go get your thyroid retested, add insulin to it and see what's going on with insulin.
I got the blood glucose monitor, the Freestyle.
Oh, you did? Great.
Yeah, I haven't put it on yet. I just got home from London, so.
Oh, cool. Wow, that's really
cool. So, yeah, I got it.
Yeah, I'm glad that you got it. Yeah, I'm glad that you got it because that'll give you some ideas. Because if you have a lot of swings, then you know, too much insulin, you know, is causing it. And I've had seen people who all of a sudden they go and test their insulin and it was a 3 fasting or a little bit high fasting, and then they had like a 60 postprandial, which is horrific. That's very high. So, yeah, it's you know, it's just complicated sometimes to figure out this chemistry. But I would definitely do the chronometer so you really have a good sense of what you're eating, how many calories, how many fat, what's the ratios between everything, and the nutrient levels. Right, okay. Taking a ton of selenium but not getting it into your tissues, and that you know go through when you do go through the gut protocol that we do in CMDS Grand. And just start at the top, right? Am I doing this head trip stuff? Am I doing the chewing? What about my blood, my stomach acid? Do the testing so you can identify which of the areas seem to have the most symptomatic indicators.
Right.
Okay. There's no shortcuts, unfortunately.
Definitely not.
That's the biggest complaint people have. There's no shortcuts. All right. Stop share.
All right. Well, thank you.
Let me see. Stop share. There we go. Oh, you're welcome. Let's see if we got it. Oh, we have a whole bunch of people on now. Nobody's on at the beginning. Now we have a whole bunch of people. I hope we weren't having. Okay. Nobody else submitted, so it's fine. Let's see.
I have to drop. I have another call to get on right now.
Okay. Yeah. It's almost time. So thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Anybody else have questions? Anybody have comments? I don't know how many of you were here most of the time, but nobody had submitted any cases this time. So we reviewed Lynette's from last time, some questions she had outstanding and some follow-ups. We're also looking at, it apparently didn't go out, but there's a new form for the case study calls that hopefully will go out for the next one. We'll get that to Jazzy and make sure that she puts it in so that we can, you know, you can submit your stuff. It's very similar, but it'll be in a Google form so that we can have it all in one nice little place to look at them and make it easier. And they'll all be in one screen so I don't have to keep popping back and forth between screens. Who else is on? Anybody else have questions, comments? Anything you want to talk about? Otherwise, we'll call it a day. Quiet. You guys are quiet. Open up your lines. Say hi. Are there anybody? Is there anybody there? Hello? Hello?
Hello? Yes.
There
hello.
We go. Hi. Elaine. Cute. I see Marcy and I see Luisa. I've got my magic wand. And I see Elaine's beautiful little pen cup there. There she is. Hi. Anything anybody has? Otherwise, we'll call it a day. Good. It's good to see you guys. Yay. Valerie just came on. Yay. Okay. And Susan. Yay. Hi.
Hi.
Love it. I love seeing you all. So come on whenever you can. You know, I know when somebody else is doing a case, you might be taking notes or doing something else and you don't want to have your face on the screen, but it's really nice for us to connect. There's Eva. Yay. Hi.
Hello. I just wanted to add to the PCOS. I'm 53 and I still have my periods on a regular basis. Now that I'm in my, you know, should be in menopause, perimenopause. One thing that is really classic with PCOS, women tend to switch to, like you said, estrogen dominance, so their testosterone will go down naturally. And that happened to me. I have high DHEA. I struggle with weight tremendously. Like you said, it's really difficult to lose an ounce, even if you try really hard. So that would be one of the indicators.
And your blood sugars, how are they? How are you?
The blood sugars are, I'm on the ketogenic diet trying to control that. So it's good. It actually freaks me out if it goes over 100 at any time. So
that's in the morning. It won't control.
It usually is in the morning. So it's like in 80s and sometime it will be in 90s. So it's better when I eat and then not like if I do the intermittent fasting, that's better. Definitely. But I did purchase the whole training with the from Dr. Allen Hopkins.
Yeah, a lot of you did. That's great.
Yes, I'm going to do my blood work and I will know a little bit.
Yeah, more. That'll be great. So we can, you know, kind of look at everybody's stuff and see. I ordered it too. So I have to do mine, my husband's as well.
Yeah, I do have a question for you because I know then the B12 comes up in the serum. So we just follow our instruction from you, then the metamolanic acid is better than the B12.
I think so. And that's a question I didn't want to pose to him right on the call because I didn't want us to, you know, have some disagree. I've yet to do that, but I've got to get in touch with him and say, hey, here's my deal. What do you think about that? Because personally, I found that I think that the B12 serum is kind of useless.
Right. And then a lot of the times I see it really high and I get people that come in when they supplement with B12 and that normally is going to stay in their system for a very long time. So it's probably a mistake when they look at it just.
They just say, oh, it's high. No problem. If it's low, it's low, right? If you've got a 200 on a serum B12, it's going to give you an idea of a B12 deficiency in the blood. But if you're looking at functional markers and the MCV is high and homocysteine is high and methylmalonic acid is high, it's a B12 deficiency. I don't care if you're 1700 in your blood, it's a B12 deficiency functionally because what we're looking at is not how much is in the storage container, but how much is actually getting into the cells and doing the function. And that's a big difference.
Right.
I'll ask him about that, what his thoughts are on that, what his really stand is, because if he has some other information or research that I don't have, but that's been my feeling in every conference where this comes up. It's similar to that. Like if somebody has MTHFRs and MTRRs and you're not methylating, you have methylation defects, then you're going to see high serum because it's not methylating and getting into the tissues. And if you have functional markers, it's not, I don't care how high it is, it's not getting into the tissues to do the work.
Right.
It doesn't matter how much, you know, whatever you have in the storage container,
right,
has to do with how much you can actually utilize and use. Yeah.
Right. And my homocysteine usually with PCOS runs really low. So genetically I have that mutation. So it's usually 4.5.
Okay. Well, that's fine. But you know, that's, and again, it's not like one indicator, right? Methylmalonic acid is gold standard for B12 because there are no other cofactors that will cause that. But with homocysteine, it could be B6 deficiency, which is common in PCOS.
Right. So I just, because, you know, I know that some people then I work with, because I think that's going to be my market more or less, the PCOS folks.
Good
because
market.
I have had really good results with ladies that needed the help that don't know much about it. You know, somebody that got pregnant without even, you know, the doctor said, you can't get pregnant, you won't get pregnant. And the person wasn't protecting.
A lot of people who have PCOS who've gotten pregnant.
Right. So I don't know why the doctors still tell the women you won't be able to, and they were not protected. This lady wasn't protecting herself, and she got pregnant, and she had to start raising the baby on her own because the guy decided not to continue the relationship. And then Now she has two children and she's married, but you know, it's been years since
good
I worked
for her. But the point is there's two downsides to that. First of all, you tell somebody that they can't have children and then they go unprotected sex and then Right. And then the second one is you have somebody who really wants to have children and they believe it and they take it on, and that influences the belief system, influences the physiological manifestations in the body.
Right.
So unless you get somebody who's like a rebel like me and says, screw you, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do this anyway, right? But there's a lot of our people and a lot of people we deal with, the doctor's God, the doctor says this isn't going to happen, and they just take it on in every cell of their being. And there's the same people who have those low self-esteem, and they have, you know, they've been shot down from when they were little kids as to you're not good enough, and they don't apply themselves.
Right.
So, and it's all like some of it's genetics, some of it's early childhood experience and the traumas and all that. But I think it's unfortunate that there's still people telling them, oh, you've got cancer, you've got 6 months to live. And you got the people who say, screw you, I'm going to keep going. And they're still alive 6 years later. And then the other one, 6 months to a day, who die because they believe it in every cell in their body. So we have to be really careful about the language that we use with people. And we always want to give them hope. And so many people say, don't give people false hope. There's no such thing as false hope. Hope is hope. Hope is a belief that maybe the impossible is going to happen, right? I don't think there's any such thing as false hope. And in fact, you know, when you think about all the studies on the placebo effect and how the mind acts, right? Let's give them a placebo that says, yeah, let's give them that placebo. Right? You Are the Placebo is a good book by, forget his name, but you know who I mean. You Are the Placebo. Like, we can create that healing in people by giving them hope, mm-hmm. by giving them that placebo of belief. And, you know, we just don't understand enough about how all this works for any human mortal being to say to somebody, this is your fate. It's ludicrous, and it comes from the MD thinking there that MD means medical deity, you know, and I can control. And it's sad, right? And we can help people with that. Totally. Totally. Yeah. So keep it up. There's no such thing as false hope. It's just hope. It's just hope. Right? Yeah. And we need that in every tissue in our body to have that belief. In our ability. There was a study I was reading recently, and I don't remember where. My Stroke of Insight, the book My Stroke of Insight. If you haven't read it, excellent, because it's all about this MD brain scientist who has a stroke. And her thought processes going through it and how she was, you know, her whole left hemisphere was completely demolished. And she worked at it and worked at it and worked at it. But her whole, like, how it shifted her perspective from the revering the left brain to really loving her right brain and really tuning into all that. It was really excellent, really fast read. I actually didn't read it. I listened to it at 2.5 speed while I was running. So I got through it in a couple of days, but really worth it to just reinforce that our belief system is so much a part of the healing. Right? When you say I have PCOS,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You shouldn't be saying that, quite frankly.
I know.
Right? In the past, I was diagnosed with this condition that the doctors call PCOS. I have some imbalances that I'm working on correcting.
Right.
But when we say I have my PCOS, we own it. Like, don't take it away from me. Damn it. Mm-hmm. I own this. Don't take it away from me. It's mine.
Right.
And let's just like help our clients when we hear them speaking. To help them, I always ask at the beginning, is it okay if when I hear you talk in limiting belief systems that I catch you on it and we talk about how to change that? And they're like, absolutely. Some of them will go, well, I'll get back to you. All right. So I'm careful with that. But most people want to know. And then what was that call we were on, Lynn? And we talked to them. And by the end of the call, they were all correcting themselves. you know, my whatever. Oh yeah, my, you know, this thing that's temporarily taken hold of my body is, it was just, were you on that call, Valerie? Cause you're on a lot of those. It was just so cool to hear people speaking that way and speaking to each other that way. Right?
But you empowering. Easy to forget. Especially when you're on a call like this. I remember when I took my younger daughter to a clinic at San Aviv in Mexico. That was the biggest thing. They were trying to redo her brain. Don't claim it. Don't share it a certain way. You know, like, don't talk about it. Bring on the things that happened because of that. It's just, they said you're constantly feeding it, so you have to stop. You have to train your whole entire brain and your system, and you know, it was a process, but it's a natural thing that, just to do that, just to say it. So, you know, we have to.
It's so natural, right? We all do it, right? But to really tune into what that's doing to your your subconscious. The subconscious is controlling all the healing processes, all the hormones,
right?
Right. Part of why I haven't gotten my blood tested in ages. It's like, oh, ignorance is bliss. I feel fine. I'll feel fine, you know.
No, that's true. It's scary. And then you're like, everything I'm doing, I got to do something else.
Yeah, I don't want to know that. That's what my son said about getting his genetics tested, because everybody else in the family got the genetics tested. My older son said, why? He says, I'm doing everything that I know how to do and everything that I'm willing to do to take care of my health. I'm, you know, 18 years old, and I don't want to get scared and find out, you know, what am I going to do? I might get Alzheimer's. I might get, you know, he says, I'm going to just keep doing, living my life to the best and live, you know, taking charge and eating well and taking care of myself. And I'm like, fine. The last thing I want to do is plant some seed in his brain that says, oh my God, I might get Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I can relate to this with my, it's a little different, but I can relate to this with my mom. She's 88. She was very educated, fascinating. She was a registrar of university, really, really smart, got sick, ended up in the hospital with a bacterial infection, which turned into a DIC. And in the midst of coming out of that DIC, she's had pneumonia repeatedly, had all kinds of problems. She already has allergies, and she is a very conventional doctor-oriented type person, except when she would come to our house, because she knew that when she got sick, if she came to our house, she would usually feel better and then go home in about a month. So this was her only exposure to non-conventional treatment. So she went into the hospital, had the disseminated vascular, intravascular coagulation. So basically blood clotting and bursting all over, somehow survived, but she's had troubles ever since. But that short-term memory is pretty much not there. And it's so interesting because the last time she was in the hospital, because she's been in and out of hospital since January. Last time she was in the hospital, you want to keep it clean. The nice doctor that was there treating her had several conversations about she really needed to go on hospice. And he was going to advise that she go on hospice, and I needed to be ready to be okay with if she decided that she didn't want to eat. I needed to be okay because the people that were in charge of her hospice care were basically there for palliative care rather than curative care. And you know, I'm just sitting there, you know, the smoke is kind of starting to come out of my ears. You know how it is. And it's like, okay, I don't have to even think about this because I know my mom, and I know that if they would have told her that this is where it's ending, you know, and you're going to die really soon here. So we're just going to ship you here and wait for you to die. She totally would have bought into that, you know, because that's what her doctor was telling her, and therefore that's what's going to happen. And so we managed to, well, frankly, my brother got involved. And then, of course, because my brother's saying it, then okay. But we didn't do that. And it's just been really interesting how we've had a few people that we've had to deal with where very much talking about, well, you know, we don't want her in pain. So if we need to put her on medication, she's close to dying. So if we need to put her on serious pain meds, you know, then we want to make her as comfortable as possible.
Yeah.
If she doesn't want to eat, we just need to make her as happy as possible. And it's like, who seriously. It's just really interesting. Now, of course, that's my personal experience that we're going through right now.
Right now.
And we just try to, as soon as we figure out that somebody is that way, then we kind of steer in the other
direction. Them out. Yeah.
It's so interesting how even in my own, I'm only talking about my mom's situation. Yeah. She's just one person.
Yeah.
And the number of people that you come in contact with that are perfectly fine with that thinking, like, wow, how many people die on a daily basis because somebody
told them they were about to. Yep.
Here has told them.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, whereas the whole placebo, it's like they basically set it up in that direction. So it's sad to.
It's sad to watch and listen to. Yeah. And does the short-term memory loss help? In that regard, that she doesn't remember what the doctor said? And
well, I think so, frankly, because she knows enough, because she's still there. She just doesn't remember day to day or minute to minute. And so she knows me, and she knows that she can trust me because I'm the one that's always here, because she's here near me. And so she'll usually just say whatever she's at, which is me. Well, and I can think clearly. And thank goodness I get to talk with people like y'all or listen to people like y'all. So even if things are really crazy and I'm really emotional, I can still come back to, no, hello,
what you know, sense.
We're going to go a different direction. So I think that really saves her. And then 20 minutes later, she doesn't even remember the statement.
Remember. That's what I was thinking. So that is actually helpful.
Yeah.
She doesn't get to get caught up in that drama of I'm dying. Right.
I think that really helps in a lot of ways. I mean,
yeah.
She doesn't have Alzheimer's. She doesn't have dementia. You know, it's just that short-term memory is just
got destroyed by the clots.
And in a lot of ways, I think that's turning out to be a good thing because of those kind of conversations that she definitely would have locked into. So I'm so glad y'all are telling somebody, anybody. Hopefully we can re-educate them to not set people up for.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Bernie Siegel tried to do that with his, you know, Love, Medicine, and Miracles. And there's a lot of people who have said that. There was, who was it? Now I can't remember the name of the doctor. I remember listening to him recounting a story on a tape somewhere. And he was talking about this doctor. It was my herbal medicine, David Winston. And he was telling about this person who, he'd gone in the hospital and it was this last ditch effort and he was dying of some kind of cancer or whatever. And the doctor had kind of heard about this placebo effect thing. And he said to him, and he mentioned to him that there was some kind of trial going on. And so, the guy came in and said, this trial is going on. And can I get into this trial of this special stuff? And the guy goes, he looked into it. What he found was that there wasn't any spot that he could get him into. But he decided to use this placebo thing to tell him he was in the trial and gave him some, you know, sugar pills or whatever that he was supposed to be taking. And he took them and he was like miraculously better. This guy was on his deathbed. He was actually, you know, he was going to die. That's what they had him at. Well, the guy lived. He ended up leaving the hospital.
Wow.
And then he reads about this trial. And he read about the trial in some newspaper magazine that trial was a scam and that that drug didn't work. And he got sick again, went back in the hospital. And the doctor told him, there's this alternative, whatever, whatever. The guy was playing along and the guy got better again.
Oh my God.
Left the hospital. So then he was back in the third time, but this doctor wasn't there to deal with him. And he had just taken, I guess I'm going to die. And he died. But this belief in this medicine that was going to save him, this belief in whatever it is, I have a belief in the inner wisdom in the body that is there and present for all of us. That's what I have a belief in. They may have a belief in vitamin C. Yes, vitamin C at, you know, 50 grams a day is going to cure me. And if people go, I'll try it, but I don't think it's going to do anything, they're going to have less of an impact than somebody who actually believes it. So we just have to take all these things into account. I'm not, you know, advocating lying to people. I'm not advocating, you know, giving them hope when there is none, but there is always hope, I think, right?
Remind them of the power that they have.
They remind them of the healing, the intense healing power of the body.
Yeah.
And we just trust it. And of course, if somebody's in like dire pain and they just want to go, that's their choice, right? That's their choice. But if that's not where they're at,
yeah,
we got to give them all that we can to boost them up and give them help and support. Yeah. Cool. Oh, wow. I see a whole bunch of stuff in the chat. Anything interesting in the chat? Oh, that's just me putting in the, okay, that was it. I was looking at my notes. I'm like, oh, those are interesting. Some snips. I put them in there. Oh, well. I thought I was going to learn something. Anything in there that I should know about? I have to tell you guys a funny story. Well, it wasn't so funny, but it's kind of funny. So I'm teaching at this conference in the Bahamas next week. And I've talked to them for the last few months about it. And they said I had a 2-hour time slot and I could go into the nutrigenomics. I gave them my abstract. They said, great, super. And then a few days ago, they write to me and say, oh, by the way, we have this set. I've had my presentation done for a while. We have the set format that you use for it. And they gave me their format for slides. Completely different size. I was using the short ones. These were the long ones. I have a skinny little border at the bottom with my copyright and all. Theirs was this thick. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I tried to play with it so I could automate as much as possible. And they had a background image. They gave me a lousy template. I turned it into a real template. Bottom line is it still took me 8 hours over the course of 3 days to fix up this thing. So I do it. I send it in yesterday. And then they were trying to get everybody to meet. And they said that it was when they sent it, it was like there's three concurrent people. You know how they do that at a lot of seminars where you can go to this one, or this one. So I'm listed and it still says 2 hours. But then they said something about a Q&A at the end and they wanted everybody together. I'm like, wait a minute, how are they going to get everybody? Like there's people in 4 different rooms and how are the speakers going to do this all together? Started to get suspicious, thought, well, maybe they have these like dividers they have in hotels and you just move the dividers and now we're going to do it. But then I started thinking, well, 2-hour time slot, how much of that is through the Q&A and how much do I actually have to speak? You know, I'm thinking maybe it's 75 minutes or 90 minutes instead of the full 2 hours. No big deal. I can adjust to that. So I wrote to them and they finally wrote back last night and I had an appointment scheduled to talk to them this morning and he wrote in the email and I thought, well, maybe this is like a mistake, wrote 20 minutes. You have at most 20 minutes. And I'm like, excuse me. I like freaked out. 20 minutes. How the hell am I going to do 142 in-depth nutrigenomic slides in this amazing presentation that I geared towards CME and, you know, advanced people? How am I going to do that in 20 minutes? So I freaked out last night. I wrote to my husband. He'd already been asleep because he was in the other part of the country. And I went to sleep and I woke up and I had this, I'm like, okay, just don't freak out about it. Maybe you misread it. Maybe he meant an hour and 20 minutes and I missed the dot, you know, the one dot. I talked to him this morning. You know, it's 20 minutes at most. And I'm like, excuse me? I said, why was I told it was 2 hours only to find out less than a week before I'm doing this? Well, I don't know. I just got brought in on this last week to moderate this panel. And I'm like, again, like freaking out. So I get up and I go, okay, 20 minutes. How am I going to do a 20 minute? First of all, it's going to take me time now. And after 8 hours of doing this, I've already put this presentation in this format. It's not like I'm going to use this format for somebody else because it's their template. And I have this great presentation. What am I going to do with this? So I'm freaking out. And so I just put on the muse, meditated, actually got a 51% calm session, which was like, and I wrote an email to the head of this thing. And it was like, you know, it wasn't very nice, but I was pissed. And I thought, don't send it. Did another call, came back out, did the meditation and did this email. And I wrote a really nice letter to them and explained. And then I thought, okay, how do I make the most, right? How do you make whatever lemonade? How do you make whatever? How do you make lemonade out of lemons or whatever? So what I thought of was, okay, I have this presentation. What if I offer them to be able to just give me your name and email address. I'll send you the link and I'll do an online webinar with the whole rest of it. Why don't I just come forward and say, I created a 2-hour presentation for you guys because I misunderstood. I'll take ownership. I misunderstood and thought I had the full 2 hours. And I have this 142 slides that are super in-depth with charts and things you can use practically in your practice. And they said it was okay to offer them something. So I'm waiting to hear back specifically. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do an online webinar with these people and try to convince them all to come to Shine and learn this stuff firsthand, you know? But I did, okay, how do I switch this around? Like when I asked myself that question, how do I turn this into something that could be productive for me to make good use of this time? So keep your fingers crossed for me that they say, yeah, that's fine. Absolutely think that's a great idea. And I'm just going to be forthright and say, I'm going to give you 20 minutes of a 2-hour presentation. If you want the rest of it, you know, come do this here. But now I have to figure out how am I going to get it down to 20 minutes and make it actually valuable enough. Like nutrigenomics, come on. Anyway, that's my story. Wow. We'll see.
That's a nut.
It's crazy.
Maybe you can concentrate on a topic like either neuro or a...
Yeah, but then they have this abstract. My abstract is the list of my objectives for this presentation is like, I can't even say those lists in 20 minutes, let alone be able to give any of them justice. So I'm going to have to just, you're right. I'm going to have to pull out some specific pieces. I asked her in that letter, I said, give me some suggestions for cutting this down. What are the pieces you most want to hear? Because 20 minutes. And then on top of it, they'd asked me to also do a workshop, a pre-event workshop. And they wanted me to do it on insulin resistance. And I just explained to them how I'd done it before for another conference I was at where I did a 4-hour intro. But they, when they purchased the workshop, they got access to the online program. And we did that for the NTA back in whatever. And it was amazing because we got a whole bunch of people to sign up. I mean, like $14,000 doing this 4-hour presentation. And then they came into the program. So it was people I wouldn't have gotten in anyway. So it was really advantageous. So I thought, oh, this is so cool. I'll do this again, you know, and laid it out. I talked to her about 6 weeks ago. And then I keep writing to them, when is this workshop going to be? Like how many hours do I actually have? How many people do you have signed up? What's the audience like? Because she had talked about wanting to be able to do it for a lay audience plus practitioner audience. And I'm like not hearing back. And finally, my assistant wrote to her like 4 days ago on, I think it was Thursday or Friday. And she wrote a condescending note back and said, now, dear, we have a lot going on here. Please be patient. It's a week and a half away from whenever this stupid thing is supposed to be. I don't even know if it's happening, how long it's going to be. She could have at least said, well, we screwed up and we didn't, you know, it's not going to happen or it is going to happen. Like, well, dear, you just have to be patient with us. So I'm heading off to the Bahamas and I may just be on vacation. That's how I'm going to look at it. If it's a 20-minute talk, good. I'm not going to listen to the rest of this stuff. I'm going out to the beach. Be done with it. So I'll keep you posted. But that's what we have to do, right? I mean, I was pissed. I did not react this way when it first happened. I did not. I will tell you, I'm not a saint. This is not how I react in this face of stuff. But I just let it, okay, I asked the right questions and that's a really important thing. How can I turn this situation into something that's going to be an advantage? And we can all do that. We can teach our clients that too. Anyway, just me on my soapbox. Any other questions or comments? Lynn, just let me know in the chat because when it gets that big, there's a taste. Yeah, it's a taste. And I'm going to tell them right out, you know, it's a CME, so you have to not be pushing and advertising anything, right? So I have a 3-day event coming up on this topic. So I cut down my 3-day event to 2 hours for you guys. Then I was told at the last minute I had to cut it down to 20 minutes. So you're basically like, it's a little tiny dip in the sampler, but if this topic's of interest, come talk to me, you know, something like that. So we'll see. There we see, yes. The appetizer, right. That's it. Okay. Direct Labs has testosterone as their monthly special. All right. So those of you who, if you didn't hear Dr. Hopkins talk with me last week, he did a really great job. And, you know, I'm probably going to be mostly moving over there. There's still stuff that I would use Direct Labs for to send people to because he's not doing the functional tests. He's just doing the blood chem. So Direct Labs, you can still go there and they can order, not a Dutch test yet, but like the Genova tests and things like that. So I will send people over there for that, but I'm probably going to just mostly send them over to Dr. Hopkins because it was when he sent me a top, you know, test by test, side by side, and it was like 20%, 10 to 20% lower. than Direct Labs. So you save your person money. Plus, if you sign up as an affiliate with him, then when you send people there, you'll get a percentage of what they spend, which will help you because I know that you guys don't charge what you're worth. And you spend a lot more time just going over the labs than, and it'll at least cover some of the time that you're going to spend reviewing the labs when you're not charging them for it. So I think it's a win-win-win all around for everybody. Okay. So if you need that link, I don't know where it is. Do you have the link? It was on Facebook and we posted it on a couple of the, oh, I know it's in my inbox.
Yeah. He just sent a new email today. If you don't want to do the labs, I think you can purchase, just the training and the affiliate, I think for 900 something. So.
Oh God. Then it's worth the testing because he offered so much.
Yeah.
Testing for that price.
Right.
Oh, I see it. Yeah. 48 hours plus cheat sheets. I'm going to look in my saved one. Cause I know he sent me let's see, your lab work. There we go. I know he sent me the replay link. Oh, I have to go backwards. It's backwards. Your replay link. Here we go. So I'll put it in here. So if you want to watch the replay of the talk we did, I think it's still up. He said something like it should be still up. There you go. Anyway, but I like it because I can have people go, instead of going to Direct Labs, this generic site, they go to my page and I'm working on it. I'm going to get simplify my offerings in terms of packages and bundles, but it lets them see that, you know, it just kind of elevates you as to the status of, wow, I have my own lab page. This is really cool. You know? All right, guys, anything else before we go? I'm going to go get something to eat before my next batch of calls. Anything else? No, we're good. All right. I'm going to open up your lines again. Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Thank you.
Good luck with the conference. So I don't know how it goes. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.